All right. So folks and members of our budget committee, we're now going to start the video feed and begin the meeting. So first of all, welcome everybody to what will actually be our last meeting of the year. And so an eventful year it's been. So thank you, as always, to the members and the staff for their incredible work and dedication to this meeting, to this committee, I mean. And I wanted to also thank, while we have them here, members of the TICBAC committee and their staff, because they've also done tremendous work, and working with them this last year has been great. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that. So thank you to all of them as well. This meeting is being conducted via video conference and we are being recorded. Members of the public can watch the meeting via a listen-only video feed. As a reminder, members to the public, members of this committee may need at time from time to time, I hope they are doing from time to time, looking at the materials as the materials are being presented by the speakers. And for this reason, they may be watching, looking away from their cameras, look at all other screens and other documents. It's not that the members are not paying attention, it's that they are looking at the materials that are being discussed. To the budget committee members and others speaking on the meeting, while we can see you, others can only hear you. So please remember to unmute yourself prior to speaking, mute yourself when you're not speaking. And also when you are speaking or about to speak, please identify yourself so those who cannot see you know who you are. With that, Ms. Cowan, can you take the roll?
Judge Rubin.
I am here.
Judge Mormon.
Good afternoon, present.
Judge Botke.
I'm here.
Justice Fujisaki.
Here.
Justice Hill.
Here.
Judge Hopp.
Here.
And Mr. Harrigan.
Here.
Thank you. We have all members present.
Outstanding. So has everybody had an opportunity to look at the minutes on page 5 and 6 of the materials regarding the November 4th meeting? And if so, is there a motion?
Move to approve. Hop.
All right. Is there a second?
Mormon second.
I heard too. I both Mormon and Fujisaki second. Great. Further discussion? All right. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 Oppose. Abstain. All right. It passes. Outstanding work. All right. On to public comment. There was written public comment received today. We have distributed it. It goes to item 3. Is there any other public comment, Ms. Cowan?
No, there isn't. And it actually relates to item 5, Judge.
Item 5, sorry. Item 5. Which, all right, well then, actually, as it so happens, we're going to be starting with item 5 because there's some scheduling conflicts with some of the presenters, so we wanted to move it around a little bit. So we'll take item 5 first. We'll roll right into that. And let's...
Sorry, Judge, I have one thing to say. I apologize, you are right. It's related to item 3 instead of item 5. I'm mixing myself up.
I just want to say one thing, Ms. Cowan. You do such great work, and I'm just glad someone is having a day like mine. So I'm...
Okay.
Thank you for joining me on this walk today. You and I find our way through. Perfect. It goes to item 3. But anyway, back to item 5. We did advance it because we are aware that there are some scheduling issues with the presenters. This is the net zero adjustment to the information technology 2021-22 allocation from IMF. We have Judge John Conklin and Ms. Heather Pettit to provide us with an overview of the item. So with that, Judge Conklin and Ms. Pettit.
I don't think I'm on item 5.
I knew that. I was testing. It says
I'm
you.
I'm having the same day too, though. Don't worry.
I was testing you. I'm glad to see you're listening. I do have you as a presenter, but I'll just give it to Ms. Pettit.
Thank you all. And I appreciate you all adjusting for my time. I have another meeting that I have to be at here in a little bit. But this is a request to move the money from local assistant that is currently being used for contractor resources in two of our larger areas, which is our LANWAN program, which supports all of the 58 trial courts network connections, as well as our enterprise architecture group, which supports all of our kind of engineering resources that assist the trial courts and the programs around that, like identity management, some of the new applications that we're doing specifically that are related to the branch. So there is it's a zero cost on it, but what it is moving is currently the way the BCPs and the language was written, these were intended to be used as contractor resources. As you can imagine, bringing on contractors and the amount of time it takes to onboard them, and then when they decide to terminate their contract, which we do not keep contractors long term, the continued upkeep of that educational becomes a chore for us, and when we really need to have a solid set of resources to support the trial courts, especially with the type of equipment and program these are very complicated programs. So what we're really looking to do is convert these, you know, contractor positions into true FTE positions to support the programs. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to present this to you is because, as I had committed to TICBAC previously and Revenues and Expenditures Committee, that, you know, we in JCIT recognize that we are the largest chunk of the IMF fund, the modernization funding bucket. And so, you know, the commitment made when I started managing that program almost 4 years ago was that we would work to reduce where we needed to reduce. We know that the fund, the program has, you know, challenges keeping the money coming in. And so I wanted just to give you why this is a good time to make this move and this decision on this, and kind of give you, again, transparency of the work that we're doing to help keep this fund stable. Jessica, will you want to put up the first slide, please? So I have Jessica Craven, she's my helper here, to show me some of the data that we've done. So the thing about the trial court trust funds, the IMF, is that it actually funds some of our really core programs across the branch. And we are, as I said, the largest expenditure. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. So just to give a sense of how we are helping to save this fund, you can see here that since we started this kind of downturn of it, where we are actually trying to achieve some of these savings. So in 18-19, when we first started evaluating this group and this kind of fund and all the programs underneath it, we saved almost $2.7 million and gave it back to the IMF. The following year, we did almost $1.7 million. Now, after that, we got the one-time modernization money. So based upon the desire to move these contractor positions to permanent positions, we believed that we could fund these positions and have a ongoing savings of $577,000 permanently. What we did is we took that one-time modernization funding, we actually used it to pay for two of our contractors that are currently funded, that were previously funded out of the IMF. So again, showing that we can actually reduce our cost by converting from contractor positions to actual permanent ongoing staff that we can train up, make sure they understand our organization and be part of our team. The actual savings, of course, was $923,000. And then we, again, are continuing to keep that permanent reduction by reducing those contractors now that we have this one-time funding. You know, as part of this, our goal is to continue to see these, you know, permanent reductions within the IMF, so that we will get to a place that IT is continuing to fund the programs that are important and that are the ones that are really relevant for the trial courts. Go ahead, Jessica, to the next slide, please. And just an example, again, of some of those programs where we had some pretty significant savings. In our CCTC, which we are actually going out to contract a new data center provider of services this year, we reduced several programs, you know, that one just in 1 year by $1.3 million. So by evaluating each one of these programs for the years and being able to reduce them accordingly, we will see this long term. So right now for us, we believe that this is the right time to take those contractor positions and convert them into permanent. So not only can we see that permanent $577,000 in savings, I expect that we're going to see even more savings as we start negotiating all these new contracts. So, go ahead, please.
I was just going to ask a question. And When I think about contractors, I think about we don't pay their benefits. And when I think about permanent employees, I think about benefits and raises and things like that. What I'm hearing you say is even when you factor all that together, it's a net savings. We're not going to be, that's not going to gobble up anything those costs will still be saving money. Is that right?
That is correct. Now I will say this, contractors though, even though we don't pay for their benefits, they are significantly more expensive for their hourly rate. So if you look at it on net to net, it's almost the same price, but because we are actually bringing people in as a team and a unit, we're designing efficiencies so that we don't need a bunch, two additional people to do work if we have a team that can actually have us processes for designing and building out these programs and these projects. So it's trying to fundamentally build up our team and push it out, if that makes sense. I think Judge.
Yes, thank you. Perfect. I was just saying yes. Perfect. Thank you for that.
Judge Rubin, this is Judge Howe. Could I ask a question?
Yes. Go ahead, Judge Howe.
Okay, Heather. So if I'm hearing you correctly, we're going to save money and get better results because we'll have more of a team and more continuity. Why would we not do this?
Because one of the things is that the way it's called out explicitly right now is because it's local assistance. So it's designated money for trial court services. This is actually putting it in our state budget, but it's for the same programs explicitly. So it's just a shifting of money, but there could be reasons why people would not want it to be there, I suppose. I mean, I don't know if Zlatko has a better answer. I always thought this was technical, but it was a little confusing to me on the whole budgeting process. So I don't know if Zlatko has any way he wants to explain it, the process of it.
But the courts that are impacted, they don't object.
No, they're not gonna be impacted at all. As a matter of fact, my goal is to get them better services. That's the intention.
If I may, I think it, very simply from a budgeting perspective, it is moving what is a contractor and budgeted one way because the budget has different types of budgets. Some are what are called local assistance. We're sending money to locals. And then there's some that are supporting state operations. So this is a realignment of what is a contractor and one type of budget to a state operations and staff-based budget. We've had conversations with the Department of Finance about the need to have some flexibility within our IMF. And we've talked to them specifically about this, and they've expressed no concerns about the movement of this budget from one side of the House to the other. But because the funds were allocated by the council, consistent with that prior budgeting, it has to come to the council and through TICBAC and JBBC ultimately. So yeah, it's very technical. There will be no loss of service. In fact, the hope is that through the consistent staffing and not the turnover as Heather has described, we'll have better service. And it'll put us on a path for helping with IMF funding and revenues.
I guess to Hal's question and to what you just said, Zlatko, I think in the past, and I mean way past, like 10 years ago past, there was some sensitivities about local assistance funds being migrated over, being used kind of at the state level. But in the way that Ms. Pettit has explained it, that they'll be specifically designated for the same tasks in the same courts.
Yep,
but just getting more bang for the buck, I think we would avoid any of that.
Yeah. And one last thing, Judge Rubin, we've been, as of late, doing it this way, the way in which Heather is. So this is aligning an old budget to really the way in which we're managing the budgets now. And Heather is and her team are looking to hire staff rather than using exclusively contractors, which was the practice 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Yes.
Well, go ahead, Ms. Pettit. I was already at a presentation once last week where it was interrupted mid-act, so you keep going.
No, I'm good. So all we're asking for is, unless anybody has any other questions, is if you would approve this to move forward and do this change. I mean, we're really excited about it. Again, why I even gave you the numbers of the IMF, because, it is important to know where we spend these monies and how we're spending these monies. As we go through this process of trimming the IMF, we will come back to you and I'll tell you exactly what's happening and where this is going. That is the intention. You know, obviously the goal is to get this BCP modernization money. If we get it, then we're going to definitely want to look at what is being funded by the IMF and what's going to be funded by the modernization program. Because, you know, right now there are basically three really core programs that we probably want to continue to do. And one of them is this LAN-WAN program where we're providing secondary internet connections to, you know, remote communities, those types of things that it makes sense that these programs are able to fund, right? Because there's the kind of where we need to continue to grow and work with the state in getting the money. So we will continue to provide you all with updates. It's important to know exactly how this money is being spent.
And Judge Rubin, since I'm listed as a presenter, I figured I should say something. This went through TICBAC last week with Heather's great assistance, just like today. Judge Hopp's sentiment was exactly what was expressed at TICBAC. It's an efficiency. It's going to lead to I think, better services. And the TICBAC members were unanimous in their approval of the item.
David, this is Judge Botke. I just want to say I have the pleasure of meeting with Heather at least once a week, if not more. And this has been talked about at JCTC, and it does make perfect sense. I'll echo Conklin's sentiments that Judge Hopp's question of why wouldn't we do this is exactly the right question.
Yeah. Anything that we're getting more bang for the buck seems like it's reasonable. At page 5 of their report, which is page, I think, 38 of your materials, is the recommendation for the motion. Does anybody want to make that?
This is Judge Bakke. I'll move to approve.
Second, right. Judge Hopp.
Hill seconds.
All right, when you say move to approve, you mean to adopt the recommendation at page 5 of the report. All right.
Yep.
And Judge Hopp, that was your second as well?
No, I think I might have been slightly behind Justice Hill.
All right, Justice Hill, was that yours? Was that yours as well?
It is.
All right, outstanding. There's a motion and a second by Bakke and Hill for the discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained. It passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Pettit, for doing that. What an outstanding report and what a great idea. And thank you for being available today.
No, thank you. Have a great day.
We are doing our best. All right. Let's go on. Let's kind of get ourselves back on to our... All right, having done item 5, let's go back now to the top of the schedule. And we are going to go to item 1. Item 1 is the $7 million ongoing transcript funding allocation methodology. Now, I'm sure this is Judge Conklin and Ms. Fleming. Is that right?
It is, and is typical with the person who's listed at the top of the bill is the one who does the least amount of work. So these two items, 1 and 2, go hand in hand. And Rebecca Fleming is the one who's really the mover and the brains behind the business on these two. So I'm going to turn both items over to her, but I stand by for any questions or concerns that TICBAC might have had, which, by the way, they didn't. Rebecca?
I was going to say, let's why don't we do them both together then, and we'll just separate out the motions at the end.
Great. Thank you, Judge. Okay, so for the first item, number 1, on the $7 million, on September 23rd, 2021, the governor signed SB 170, which amended the 2021 Budget Act and included $7 million ongoing general fund to the Judicial Council for establishing a methodology to allocate funding to all trial courts to cover the costs associated with the increased transcript rates pursuant to AB 177. The budget language for SB 170 relating to this funding for increased transcript rates is provided on page 7 of your materials. In response to the need for an allocation methodology, an ad hoc court reporter funding subcommittee was established, including myself, Judge Conklin, Kevin Harrigan, James Kim, and Brandon Riley. Through recent deliberations, an allocation methodology was developed to help all courts cover increased transcript costs and was approved by the Funding Methodology Subcommittee and TICBAC for your consideration. The methodology first averages actual transcript expenditures by courts for the last 3 fiscal years and then applies a proportional allocation of the $7 million to each court based on their averages, which for this year represents a 44% increase for each court based on their historical expenditures. It is recommended the funding be provided in one lump sum after the council approval, using an effective date of September 23rd, 2021, the date the increased transcript rates were effective, in order to align with the budget language. Lastly, because this funding is intended solely to cover the costs associated with increased transcript rates, any unspent funds are required to revert. Pages 8 and 9 of the materials outline the calculation to take place for the annual reversion and would use each court's prior year actuals as a baseline to identify cost increases in the current year. The cost increase will be compared to the funding appropriation, and any remaining appropriation balance will be collected for reversion. Attachment 1B provides additional detail for this true-up process. Since the funding is ongoing and this is the first year using this methodology, we would revisit the allocation method at the end of the fiscal year to determine if any changes would be needed. The recommendation for this item is on page 9 of the materials, and the methodology is listed as attachment 1A in the subsequent pages. I'd be happy to take questions on this item, Judge Rubin.
Are any questions for Ms. Fleming about this item or for Judge Conklin, but probably mostly to Ms. Fleming? On the item, there's actually the recommendation.
Sorry.
There's actually three parts to the recommendation. All right, I'm not seeing any questions. We have a motion.
This is Judge Mormon. I'll move to adopt the recommendation set forth on page 9, paragraphs 1, 2, and 3 of our material.
All right, is there a second?
Second, Judge Hopp.
All right, Mormon moves, Judge Hopp seconds. All right, for the discussion. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? All right, passes. All right, there was also item 2, which was the $30 million methodology. Ms. Fleming, did you want to tackle that?
Sure. SB 170 also included $30 million of ongoing general fund to the Judicial Council to be utilized exclusively for establishing a methodology to allocate funding to all trial courts to increase the number of court reporters in family law and civil cases. The funding shall not supplant existing trial court expenditures on court reporters in family law and civil cases. The budget language for SB 170 relating to the $30 million funding for increasing the number of court reporters is provided on page 15 of your materials. The same ad hoc court reporter funding subcommittee deliberated on this funding as well, and a recommendation for allocation was developed utilizing the assessed judicial need from the 2020 Judicial Needs Assessment Report as the best metric for this methodology, because of the parallel work drivers between judgeships and court reporters. The budget language refers to family law and civil law cases, which means all non-criminal case types. So it would exclude felonies, misdemeanors, and infractions, but would include civil, family, juvenile, probate, and mental health. The recommendation was approved by FMS and ticked back for your consideration. This assessed judicial need data includes separate non-criminal and criminal judicial need by court. We focused on using the non-criminal judicial need consistent with the budget language. The proposed methodology includes the following. First, applying a $25,000 funding floor to all courts, resulting in 11 of the 15 Cluster 1 courts receiving this floor amount equivalent on average to a 0.25 full-time equivalent court reporter position. Secondly, allocating the remaining funding proportionately to all other courts based on their non-criminal judicial need. And lastly, this funding is recommended to cover new court reporters in family law and civil law cases effective July 1st, 2021, and is recommended to go out in one lump sum. Just as with the transcript funding, this funding must revert as well if not used towards costs associated with increasing court reporters in family law and civil law cases. Judicial Council staff will work on the development of a true-up process to collect unspent funds after verification of funding use and ensuring funds were not used for supplanting. This would be done by determining how many court reporters each court had on July 1st, 2021, and noting how many were added by the end of fiscal year on June 30th, 2022. Since the funding is ongoing and this is the first year using this methodology, we would revisit the allocation method at the end of the fiscal year to determine if any changes would be needed. The recommendation for this item is on page 17 of the materials, and the methodology is listed as attachments 2A and 2B in the subsequent pages. We're happy to take any questions you may have.
All right. Do we have any questions for Ms. Fleming on the court reporter piece? I know we've discussed this matter has come up a fair amount in the last few months at various meetings and what have you. So you may not have a ton of questions, but if you do, let's ask Ms. Fleming. So any questions? I'm not seeing any. All right. Is there a motion?
I move that we, this is Judge Hopp, I move that we adopt the kickback recommendation as set forth on page 17 of our materials.
And Hill will second.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second by motion by Hopp, second by Hill. Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose, abstain, or it passes. Okay.
Judge Rubin, if I could just add very briefly here, I was on the working group, but I just did my best to stay out of the way of those other members who really knew what was going on here. And with the help of staff, they worked weekly, if not numerous times a week, we had meetings to get this to you in a timely manner. And I don't want the rush to make it look like this is not a quality product. I think it's a great recommendation. I appreciate JBBC's consideration and acceptance of it.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about this particular issue, and I thought, at least for my part, I thought TICPAC did a great job with it under the circumstances. It did not have a rushed feel to it, even if
good.
You
put Thanks.
A lot of pressure on your committee. All right, let's go on to action item 3. This is the court interpreter allocation methodology. Be effective July 1, 2022. I think Judge Conklin is here with Ms. Wood to give us an overview of the
Cottrell,
item.
Yep. Is this? There he is. Yep. So I'm here with Cottrell, and Cottrell is going to take over the presentation again, just to explain the mechanics of the recommendation that's set forth in your materials, ultimately page 26.
Judge Conklin, might you or Mr. Wood have an opportunity to incorporate into your presentation the comment from Mr. Chatters in the public comment?
I could, but I was trying. Go ahead, Cottrell.
I don't, my apologies. I was just going to say we also have Mr. David Yamasaki. He's the CEO with Orange, and he may also be able to provide some context regarding that public comment.
Very outstanding. Gentlemen.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get started. So, good afternoon. Again, this is item 3 of today's agenda. It is a recommendation by TICPAC on an ongoing workload-based methodology for allocation of the court interpreter program funding. This would include cross assignments, benefit cost changes, and unspent funds effective July 1st of 2022. And this would be for consideration by the Judicial Council at its January 21st, 2022 business meeting. A little background. So on May 21st, 2021, the Judicial Council approved TICPAC's recommendation for a one-time allocation methodology for 21-22 to allocate the same $130.977 million provided to the trial courts in 2021. It also was to return unspent 2021 funds to make whole those courts that experienced a shortfall in that fiscal year, and also to revert all remaining funds to the TCTF or the Trial Court Trust Fund as restricted program funding. Now, the funding methodology used for current and prior year was a one-time approach to allocate available funds to provide the subcommittee with additional time to develop an ongoing workload-based methodology. This approach used available data on projected staff costs and actual contractor costs to identify projected need, and then allocated the appropriation on a proportional basis to each court. Now, details of recent deliberations regarding the cross assignments, video remote interpreting, and benefit cost changes can be found on pages 25 and 26 of your materials. But to highlight some of the considerations or determinations regarding cross assignment practices, one of the determinations made was that cross assignments should be modified so that receiving courts would reimburse home courts for interpreter services for extraordinary costs. Those costs would include travel and mileage, and that staff interpreter benefits should be allocated to courts on a dollar-for-dollar basis. Now, this is a change from the historical practice of rolling interpreter benefits into the appropriation and allocating to courts based on reimbursement or allocation methodologies in place at that time. The recommendation for consideration today is a starting point, and ultimately it will provide courts with a defined allocation amount for planning purposes while the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee continues its work to determine what data and data sources can best be utilized to develop the ongoing and equitable methodology. Now, before I move on to get to the details of the recommendation, as I mentioned earlier, we do have Mr. David Yamasaki on the line with us as well. He's the court executive officer for Orange Superior Court. He's also a member of the Ad Hoc Interpreter Subcommittee, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, and TICVAC. David, I'm not sure if you can hear me, and I'll step aside for you to add the additional details.
Yes, thank you very much, Cottrell, Judge Rubin, and members. I hope I can offer some assistance in providing some additional details into the work that was done. A few points that I would make is the membership of the ad hoc subcommittee was very mindful, and one of the things that was considered was making sure there was representation from courts of varied size, but also from various parts of the state where, of course, interpreter challenges exist because of simply supply in some instances. And so that was something that I think is important to note. As it relates to the nuance that Mr. Wood had mentioned related to cross assignments, one of the things that we were facing as a result of the change was we had moved from a reimbursement approach to funding interpreters to an allocation. And one of the reasons for that change was because the funds historically have not demonstrated to be sufficient enough to cover the needs. So courts would be facing using some of their local trial court funds to supplement the funds that they had received. And of course, that was as a result of some of the deficiencies that we experienced in the allocation, or the appropriation rather. So with that in mind, many courts found that they were receiving less funds in a particular year than they've historically spent. They've had to make some adjustments locally in order to accommodate the reduced allocation. And in that regard, the area that we looked at was the cross assignments. Prior to today, if a court cross assigned an interpreter to another jurisdiction, all of the associated costs as resulting from that cross assignment would be assumed by the sending court. And in that regard, again, the spirit of cross assignment was really to assist other courts. It didn't seem fair, for example, for a court to assume a lot of the costs that are associated with a cross assignment, and some of the extraordinary expenses could be very significant. Moreover, one of the pieces that is not recognized specifically is that travel time is part of the compensation that an interpreter would receive. So if Orange, for example, were to cross assign an interpreter to San Bernardino, the commute time can be 2 hours just on a normal commute day. And if there's traffic, that particular interpreter that would potentially be entitled to overtime. So that's one of the things that we wanted to make sure that we identified it as an example to maintain the spirit of a cross assignment, but also to ensure that a court is kept whole as a result of that gesture. So that's one of the pieces that I think is important to identify. And I would be happy to speak about some of the continued efforts that I think are going to be necessary to capture information, to better demonstrate a court's interpreter usage. Right now, it is an allocation based on historic expenditures, but of course, that changes from year to year, potentially. And I think in order to make a much more informed decision about whether additional resources are needed, I think the CIDCS system, which captures interpreter usage from court to court, and was created almost 20 years ago, needs to be expanded such that more detailed information can be captured for either advocacy or also to demonstrate a local court's interpreter needs. So those are some of the additional steps I think are critical for us to refine this new approach, which seems to be in the direction of an allocation as opposed to a reimbursement.
David, or Mr. Yamasaki, this is Judge Rubin. When you, did you get a chance to look at Mr. Chatter's comment?
I did.
It seems like you're in agreement with him. It seems like you're saying that salary benefits, all that would be picked up by the receiving court as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's appropriate for a sending court to just assume the cost of the salary, because in many instances, that particular interpreter may be available. And so rather than really getting into the minutes of an interpreter's availability, I think it's important to just have a local court assume the responsibility of salary and benefits. Where it is a little bit complicated is when somebody is going to be receiving mileage, which can be substantial. I know many courts that have other than Spanish interpreters as employees, they're highly sought after and reasonably so. But I think that to make sure that we are not missing any details, the point that Mr. Chatters had pointed out in his comment was to make sure that we can capture specific salary information. But I think at this juncture, it's too early to see whether that should have a significant bearing in the methodology that is recommended here, rather just to keep track of the information in the event that more detail is needed to determine what a local court's need or court's needs are in this area.
Thank you, Mr. Yamasaki. I feel like I've been stepped on the presentation. Keep going.
No, so if there aren't any additional questions, I'm more than happy to go over the details of the recommendation before you today.
Thank you.
Okay, so the take back recommendation is on pages 26 and 27 of your materials and includes requests for the budget committee to approve a proportional allocation methodology based on a 3-year average of expenditure data available up to the CIP appropriation amount effective 22-23. While the subcommittee continues review of pandemic impact and reporting data considerations effective in 23-24. Item 2 of that recommendation is to require courts to return to the Judicial Council all unspent 2021, 2022, and 22-23 and ongoing CIP allocated funds, which will first reimburse courts with a shortfall in each respective year, not to exceed the overall appropriation amount, with any remaining funds reverting back to the TCTF as restricted program funding. Item 3, allocate staff interpreter benefits dollar for dollar to courts reporting cost benefit changes effective in 2022-2023, and require receiving courts to offset extraordinary interpreter expenses to courts providing cross assignments and charge the subcommittee, this is the ad hoc interpreter subcommittee, with the development of a payment and reimbursement method. So those are the 4 items essentially wrapped into one recommendation for your consideration today and for Judicial Council consideration at its January meeting.
Well, Mr. Wood, Mr. Yamasaki, Judge Hoffman, thank you for that really important and concise presentation. All right, any questions for the presenters? Mr. Harrigan, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Judge, and thanks, David and Cottrell, for the presentation. David, I want to ask on Jake's concern of the cross-assignment expenditures in the subcommittee, or since then, has there been any appetite, or do you think that there might be a future appetite for, I guess, defining extraordinary expense and allowing for wages potentially given the funding allocation model versus reimbursement model? Do you think that that's might want or need to be addressed depending on your outlook on that topic, but wanted to at least propose or discuss the potential of broadening that description or changing it?
I can respond if you would like. So one of the issues regarding compensation, salary, and benefits is that there's a it's not necessarily, I think it would defeat the whole purpose of a cross assignment if we start getting into that level of detail. And really the spirit of the cross assignment program is to share a resource where a court is absolutely struggling. And I don't know that it's necessarily a significant volume, but I also don't think that the benefit to the sending court is going to be so substantial. We're going to be talking about retirement benefit rates, which vary from region to region. I think the level of effort that necessarily would be required to make sure that we cover every dollar, I don't think that that's necessarily something that is going to, you know, produce a benefit to make sure that there is not a an opportunity for a court to make additional funds than perhaps their allocation is. And quite honestly, the group itself was a little bit hesitant to delve into the salary and benefit piece because of the complexity of trying to keep track of what that would represent. I think the easiest thing to do is really to look at the extraordinary expenses. And quite honestly, one of the things that is really necessary for us to expand this area further and really get into the detail is to capture additional information. And I think that's something that the ad hoc subcommittee is really poised to do. We just didn't have enough information to make solid recommendations to really expand in the area of the benefits and the salaries that were contained in the recommendation. But more information is clearly better. Too early to really get into that just yet, in our view.
What I think I'm hearing you say, Mr. Yamasaki, is that right now it's maybe too early, but if it becomes an issue, we'll know that by tracking the data and we'll be able to revisit it.
Precisely, Judge Rubin.
Right, sometimes tracking the data can be more, cost more than the actual reimbursement. All right, thank you, Mr. Harrigan, for the question. Any other questions, panel? All right, seeing none, Mr. Wood has laid out where the recommendation is. It's at pages 26 and 27 of your materials. The four-part recommendation. Thoughts, anybody on a motion?
This is Mormon. I'll move to approve the recommendation starting on page 26 and concluding on page 27 of our materials, subparts 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I just want to say this is this was a well-written material in advance of this meeting. As a PJ, you might imagine I scrutinized this pretty closely. And it's a really, really important issue, and it was well explained. So thank you, Cottrell, Mr. Yamasaki. Good job.
This is Hill seconding the comments and the motion.
Outstanding. Well, we have a motion is by Mormon, a second by Justice Hill for the discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? All right, it passes unanimously. Great work. All right, thank you very much to Mr. Yamasaki, Mr. Wood, and Judge Conklin.
I add my thanks to them as well. They were the masters behind this product, as Judge Mormon just noted.
Outstanding. All right. All right, we're moving on now to item four. This is the base funding adjustment request. It's at page 30 of your materials. This is Judge Conklin again and Ms. Tuck.
Yes, and these are regarding
the funding floor in Alpine and Sierra Superior Courts. So if we could turn it over to them, let's go.
Great, Oksana's with us. I'm gonna turn this over. She's also gonna take 6 and 7. These items are, though important, are a little more technical than the previous items. I don't wanna describe them as routine because they are important, but they are not unusual items to be considered by TICBAC. And with that, Oksana, I turn item 4 over to you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the Budget Committee in developing a recommendation for consideration by the Judicial Council on a base funding floor adjustment for the two smallest trial courts, Alpine and Sierra, effective July 1st, 2022. A base funding floor amount of $800,000 is currently allocated to these two courts based on the minimum level of staffing and necessary operational costs. Originally, when the workload formula was first approved, a funding floor was established for these courts as there was operational funding needed above that which the workload formula provided. Based on staffing needs and operational costs at the time, a base funding floor amount of $750,000 was approved by the Judicial Council effective in fiscal year 2014-15. Since then, there were no changes to the funding floor amount until 2019, when the Council approved a $50,000 inflationary adjustment, increasing the base funding floor to $800,000, effective in year 2019-20. This summer, the Court Executive Officer of Sierra indicated an urgent need for a funding floor adjustment and is requesting a $150,000 ongoing increase. Alpine expressed a desire to align with Sierra's request. The need for additional funding is driven by numerous factors outlined beginning on page 31 of the materials. In highlighting a few of the examples provided by the courts, both courts have expressed a need to address deficiencies in areas of IT management and support, including CMS upgrade and managing the ongoing cost impact of Judicial Council court modernization projects, as well as health cost increases and reduced staffing to stay within budget, which is not sustainable. A funding augmentation of $150,000 will represent an approximate 19% increase to the current base funding floor amount of $800,000. It is intended to reflect inflationary adjustment as well as increased operational costs to ensure adequate financial resources for staffing and IT support to provide continued public access to justice and safety for court users and staff. For the reference, the percent change in the consumer price index from 2018-19 through 2022-23 is 12.3% for the Los Angeles region and 13.1% for the San Francisco region. The TICBAC's recommendation listed on page 33 of the materials is to increase the current base funding floor amount of $800,000 by $150,000 for consideration by the Judicial Council, and it will be effective July 1, 2022. That concludes our presentation. Both court representatives are available to answer any questions that member might have and provide any additional information or details if necessary.
Thank you, Ms. Tuck. Judge Conklin, anything to add?
No, it was very well done, as always, by Oksana. These are necessary. You folks, I think, all understand the intricacies of these funding methodologies and these floor courts and these really are in need of adjustments here that the rest of us, that they really don't enjoy when we get adjustments to our allocation. So it's very worthwhile, appropriate, and I support the recommendation.
All right. I see Judge Hoff has a question for Ms. Tuck. Go ahead.
Yeah, I certainly agree this is justified, and I got to say, in looking at that estimate from DOF about the CPI increase in 21-22 and 22-23, I think might turn out to be just a little low. But I wonder if we should adjust this and then recommend that we adjust it every year by, if not the CPI, the increase in funds that the trial courts overall get in our annual budget. I throw that out for discussion. I haven't really thought about it a whole lot, but just it seems like that would help them plan a little better and not have to say, well, every 2 or 3 or 4 years, say, well, we need a rather substantial increase. Anyway, I move that we adopt the recommendation.
All right, Ms. Tuck or Zlatko or John or Mr. Wardlaw or Mr. Theodorovic, do you want to answer Judge Hoff's question? Any of the three of you?
Yeah, I would defer to maybe Judge Conklin in the conversation, because I think we had that type of conversation. There was a lot of sympathy for them going forward and as a work product to look to possibly amending the process in the future.
Yeah, I think it shows up in our work plan, but I think it's something we continue to monitor. I think Judge Hopp's perception and recommendation is very appropriate, but like the prior recommendations, I think we need to wait for sort of data to come in through the years. Do adjust these floor courts every couple of years, and if it turns out that we're just not able to keep up to that adjustment, we can consider an automatic adjustment as suggested. John, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Thank you, Judge. Only that with regard to the branch priorities and seeking CPI on an ongoing basis is very much one of the one of a few very high priorities. And so, as you say, Judge Conklin, watching how that conversation and how it evolves with the legislature and the appropriation, I think is prudent, and hopefully we'll get the traction of an ongoing CPI adjustment that can be made throughout all courts.
All right, outstanding. And great work by Ms. Tuck in presenting us. We could understand it because it is kind of technical. So great work there. Does anybody want to make a motion?
Well, I think I snuck in what I said, that I moved to adopt the recommendation. Right. If I didn't say that, I'm saying it now.
You did. I just forgot. Is there a second?
Harrigan seconds.
All right, we have a second by Harrigan. Motion by Hop, second by Harrigan for the discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes. We've already done item 5. Let's go now to item 6, the Trial Court Trust Fund Authority Delegation. And it's back to Judge Conklin and Ms. Tuck.
Yep, and I'll turn it over to Oksana. This is, even though I almost failed accounting in college, this is just more of an accounting principle to allow for transfers of funds to be made as efficiently as possible by the administrative director. And with that, Oksana, if you could give us a little more detail than my general description.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon again. For the recording purposes, this is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report is to assist the Budget Committee in developing recommendations for consideration by the Judicial Council in the Trial Court Trust Fund, TCTF in short, authority to the Judicial Council Administrative Director to transfer funding allocations approved by the from one program or project to another, subject to any restrictions or conditions provided by the Council. California Constitution, Article 6, Section 6C, and Rule 10 from California Rules of Court give the authority to delegate functions to the Administrative Director. This report are consistent with the Council practice under this authority. For instance, in August 2013, the council delegated limited authority to the administrative director to transfer allocations between projects and programs funded from the State Child Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, IMF. Extending similar authority for the TCTF would allow the transfer of allocations between program budgets when unforeseen needs arise, requiring a prompt response to often time-sensitive needs. For some programs and projects, annual allocations from the TCTF approved by the Council are estimated based on available information at the time allocations are developed. And cost may change due to varying demand levels, services and product availability, also personal services cost, and fluctuations in the contract terms that may occur during the fiscal year. The ability to pivot and respond to these type of shifts in funding needs through delegation of the authority would allow for the prompt fiscal remedy, and any adjustment made under delegated authority would be reported back to the Council after the end of the fiscal year in which they occur. The recommendations on page 42 of the materials is to approve delegated authority to the administrative director to transfer TCTF funding allocations approved by the Judicial Council from one program or project to another, subject to any restrictions or conditions provided by the Council as necessary to address unanticipated needs and contingencies. The recommendation will be presented for consideration by the Judicial Council in January 2022 meeting. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to assist in answering any questions.
Is there any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Tuff? All right, I'm not any. Is there a motion?
This is Fujisaki. I move to approve the recommendation at page 42 of our materials.
Is there a second?
Harrigan seconds.
All right, Harrigan second. We have a motion by Fujisaki, second by Harrigan. All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain. All right, it passes. Thank you, Ms. Tuck. And I think, Ms. Tuck, are you not on item 7, which is the 3% reduction, final one-time reduction?
She's got that too.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I'm going to introduce you all. I don't need to introduce her. She's taking up the whole show today. But just to help you all remember, and she'll cover a little bit, the courts can, at the end of the fiscal year, and to overgeneralize if with a true-up, if the courts have excess funds that have not been spent above 3%, they have to return those funds. And so this is just an accounting of that 3%. It was 2%. Now it's 3%. Just as a note, as you see in your materials, at the end of the day, this nets out when you consider the millions, if not billions of dollars that are allocated to the trial courts. $200,000, it's all that's left at the end of the year that ultimately, as a net, needs to be trued up, which I think speaks particularly well to the integrity of our overall budget. Probably said too much already. Oksana, take it away.
Thank you again, Judge Conklin. So good afternoon again for the recording. This is Oksana Tuck, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. The Governor Code Section 77203, Subdivision B, allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 1% of the court's operational budget from the previous fiscal year, commencing June 30th, 2014, and concluding June 30th, 2019. Commencing June 30th, 2020, a court may carry over unexpended funds in amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. Likewise, that in each fiscal year, after review of available trial court reserves as of June 30th, of the prior fiscal year, Judicial Council shall finalize allocations to the trial courts and each court's finalized allocation shall be offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the amount authorized to be carried over. Trial court submitted their final 3% computation with final year-end information, and the figures in attachment A on page 46 of the materials reflect the trial court's finalized and closed accounting records for 2020-21. Column L displays court's final total reduction computation of $7.7 million. On the following page, attachment B provides details on the final allocation adjustments for the 2020-21 3% cap adjustment and TCDF funds held on behalf request amounts that will be allocated for current year expenditures shown in column F, and those will be distributed to the 22 distribution to the trial courts, as well as amounts that will be retained in the TCDF for the future year expenditures shown in column G. The budget committee is asked to approve 3% fund balance capital reduction allocation of $7.7 million to match the trial court's final calculations of the amount above the 3% fund balance cap, which nets to $232,000 after the funds held on behalf of action. Fortioned by the Judicial Council and its business in the presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions.
All right, do we have any questions for Ms. Tuck regarding this presentation? I kind of agree with Judge Conklin, it's kind of amazing that given the amount of money we're talking about, it comes down to $230,000 net difference. That's kind of amazing. All right, any questions for Judge Conklin or Ms. Tuck? All right, seeing none, is there a motion?
Hop, move to approve the recommendation.
Hop, second, motion. Hill.
All right, motion by Hop, second by Hill. For the discussion. All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And opposed? Abstain? All right, it passes, thank you. Which takes us to our last agenda item, which is the annual agenda for 2022 for TICBAC. Judge Conklin, I think this is you, is it not?
It is, and I'm with, Brandy Sanborn is with me. You all have our annual agenda. I'll do a brief flyover of that agenda, but I'm more than happy to take any questions and defer those questions to Brandy as they get particularly technical. In mentioning her name, I know you folks hear of everybody on staff. Brandy, unfortunately, I have her cell number, and that means I call her early in the morning and late at night at all times whenever I have a question. And I just want to acknowledge everything she does for TICBAC. At the end of the day, as we all know, it's those that are in the back doing all the work that lead to our success, and Brandy is that secret for us. With that, you have our annual work plan. It's not differing much from last year, except you'll see that it's impacted significantly by COVID and the times that COVID requires us. I thought we were through with it last year, as we all did, and we're doing it again this year, requires us to pivot. I think of one of the excellent examples of that is court reporter funding, interpreter funding, these things that change significantly and tick back through its expertise, mainly from its CEOs. Allowed us to make all those recommendations to you. You're familiar with our working groups and our subcommittees. We have the fiscal planning subcommittee, which is what Oksana just referred to. That's the subcommittee that considers those requests from the courts that come in very detailed reports for the funds held on behalf of. Those courts then submit those reports to FPS. FPS goes through them, makes recommendations to TICBAC that are routinely approved. The funding methodology subcommittee and the revenue expenditure subcommittee work hand in hand. Revenue and expenditures is just what it says. It monitors those funds coming in and going out, and the funding methodology subcommittee then makes recommendations as to how they're spent and how they're allocated, particularly to the trial courts. We have some ad hoc subcommittees in place now, which are otherwise known as working groups. You heard from Mr. Yamasaki about the interpreter subcommittee. We have the COVID-19 backlog subcommittee, again, keeping track of and trying to stay current with the backlog that was created by the shutdown and is continued to be impacted by COVID, and our court reporter funding subcommittee that you just heard from, that in a matter of, I think, less than 30 days, took that $30 million plus $7 million and came to you with a recommendation that's ready to go to the council. We have numerous meetings planned throughout the course of the next year. Most of those, unfortunately, well, the efficiency of the Zoom meetings is great. The personal contact that lacks the Zoom meetings is not so great, but we're making it work. You have all the projects laid out before you, starting off at page 50 of your materials. I can go through those in detail if there's any questions. They're all laid out. There's the federally funded dependency representation program, and that's to deal with those federal matching funds that come in. And Brandy, at any time, if I'm going off track, if there's anything that's like, hold on, don't say it that way, feel free to jump in. We also have the court reporter funding. That item, as well as, let me flip back here, the prior item are both on track to go to the council on January 21st. The court reporter, this is title number three. I just want to make sure you understand. This is different slightly than the court report, than the interpreter funding methodology that Cottrell and David talked about. This is that $30 million grant funding that's been made available. And while very much appreciated, it has some edges to it as far as requirements to the courts as to how they can, what they have to do and what they have to commit to with that grant funding. So we're trying to work through that with those courts to help them apply for it and as is useful to them to receive it. Project number four is the base funding floor adjustments. We talked about those today as well. Those are now hoping, I think we'll get them to the council in March. Now that they've gone through JBBC, we also have project number five, the IMF fund allocation that you're all familiar with. Item number six is the trial court trust fund authority, the delegation of that. That's going to be considered by the council in March. We have our court cluster system and floor funding. That plays right into what we talked about today with those two courts that came to us for an adjustment in flooring. Judge Hopp noted that, you know, there may be other ways we can deal with this more efficiently, and that's what this project addresses. And the trial court pension trust fund laid out in item number eight. And finally, the Judicial Council provided services review. We continue to review the services provided by Judicial Council to local trial court operations. So those are our newer one-time projects. Brandy, anything you want to add?
So far, so good. I'm currently en route, but I will definitely, I'm prepared to jump in as needed. Going well.
Multitasks.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, be safe.
Driving, yes, thank you.
Talking, be safe.
Yeah, we don't want to see any airbags go off.
No, not today.
So I'm happy to take any questions on any of those items.
Let me ask you this, Judge Conklin. I when I read it, first of all, it's impressive how much TICBAC accomplishes, and the staff that support TICBAC accomplishes. I guess my question was, when I look at that, am I worried about the scope? I see there's that pension piece that was added or is on there with the new, was that the pre-funding of pension, looking at that, perhaps making a, are we worried at all about the scope of the work, or does it seem like this is doable, even with COVID?
Brandy's probably always worried about the scope of the work. I don't think it's insurmountable, but I think you raise a valid thing that we need to keep, or concern to keep an eye on. But to answer your question directly, no, I don't think it's the scope of the work is too broad for the committee at this point. Brandy, okay. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And Judge Rubin, the ending items are actually carryover as well because of COVID last year. So we did face a delay, and they are kind of listed as a lower priority, but getting through a lot of the items we did today with JVBC and what's going forward to council, I agree with Judge Conklin. We'll be able to tackle these this year.
Okay, I was just, that's probably a question I can imagine us getting at E&P, so I just wanted to put it out there first. All right, perfect. That was outstanding.
Great. And as I say that, I thank those that do all the work, but Judge Rubin, I really need to thank you and JVBC as well for your assistance along the way, because none of these projects go to the council but through you folks, and the questions you ask of us and the input you have for us is really helpful, and I think the council sees that as they ultimately consider these recommendations.
I think we've really forged a great working relationship with these two committees. I think we've also been able to establish with the council, between the way we work these two committees together, in my view anyway, a kind of credibility, because there is some sunlight between us. We're not rubber stamping tick back. There is pushback at times from both committees, one or the other, and I think that kind of keeps it all open, honest, transparent, and dynamic. And I hope the council members appreciate that, but it wouldn't work without the horsepower coming from pickback members and staff. So,
well, I like the way you said that the sunlight coming between us, was, I imagine I've given you a lot of sunlight as we talk about a lot of these issues and we work through them, and I appreciate your patience with that.
You know what? Vitamin D is good for us, and that comes from sunlight. So anyway, outstanding work. Is there a motion to accept the annual agenda?
Hill moves.
Right. Motion by Hill. Is there a second?
Mormon seconds.
Mormon seconds. All right. Is there further discussion?
Yeah, I just want to comment that list of accomplishments at the end in 2021 is outstanding and remarkable, and John, your committee should be commended, and the staff that support you should be commended for doing a great job on so many difficult things this year.
I really hope they hear that, because the staff is on here, and Judge Hopp, thank you so much for echoing that, and I'll pass your comments along to the TICPAC members next time we meet, and let them know that the appreciation that was expressed. Thank you.
And I would just note too, although John always deflects credit and gives credit to everyone else, Judge Conklin does an absolutely magnificent job day in and day out. And that is one heck of a tough job, as we all know. So well done, Judge Conklin.
Thanks. Might have to do with the mentor judge that I had when I got to the Superior Court, Judge Hill, Justice Hill.
I think guiding TICPAC into alignment with our committee was done so deftly that we all owe such confidence. And his staff, the staff of the committee. All right, so we had a motion, a second, further discussion. All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same, it passes.
Thank you.
All right. Hold on just a second. All right. That is our last of our action items. We do have the quarterly report go on the funds held on behalf of Judge Conklin and Mr. Wood.
Hi, hello.
No action item. What?
It's Cottrell's show.
Okay.
Hi again. So this is information item number one. This is the quarterly update on the completion of TCTF funds held on behalf of projects that were either planned or completed. In November, Budget Services staff requested a status on projects or planned expenditures from those courts that indicated completion through October 29 of this year. Two courts, Imperial and Napa, reported projects complete for this reporting period. Imperial completed its purchase of new printers, and Napa completed the purchase of its case management system. We have provided a detail of each court's completed projects, which can be found starting on page 66 of your materials. That concludes the info-only items. I believe that's the only one, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions should they arise.
Any questions for Mr. Wood on that, other than it's kind of
I know it's not much, but to have a CMS come in under budget was nice. Hey, we take our good news or we can get it. All right, any comments or questions for Mr. Wood? All right, seeing none, Mr. Wood, you and the other staff are just so wonderful today. Thank you for your work on all this and for your presentations today.
Thank you.
Jess Conklin, thank you as always. Anything for the good of the order? Well, I put myself back to my agenda. Anything for the good of the order?
Hope to see everybody in person next year.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, looking forward to that. I just want to say one thing for the good of the order, and I know I sound like probably my mother, but I'm going to say it. We're coming out of COVID, people think. They are going back to their old habits. They are not used to their old habits. Please be careful over the holiday season. People will be on the road who shouldn't be on the road. It's a little bit different. Please, please be careful. Don't drive unless you have to. Have fun. But anyway, just be safe so we see everybody back safe and sound next year. That's my hope. So. All right. Thank you, everybody. And we are in adjournment. And for those of you on the real estate committee, we're starting up in about a little bit. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.